you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello and welcome to the Ask Life. Hello and welcome to the Ask Lifehacker podcast. It is April 3rd, and this week we're answering questions about prepaid cell phone carriers, selling stuff online, and choosing Android phones. And as always, we'll be going through our favorite tips and downloads of the week, so let's get started.
Everyone, and welcome to the show. This week is a special episode because we have everyone here joining us on the podcast. Basically, everyone who's ever appeared on the podcast is here with us today, except for Pash, sadly. So let's just all go down the line, starting with Dachis, and introduce ourselves instead of me doing it.
Well, my first name is Adam, but you know my last name already. I also have sinus and issues and a sore throat today.
Good day to podcast.
Mm-hmm. Who's next?
Alan, that would be your cue next.
Oh, really? God, I'm at the end on my screen, so I know.
No, everyone's at the end on our own screen. Well, we have Alan and Eric and Lonnie and Thorin. Okay. Everyone's been introduced.
Here's Adam Dachis and the rest.
And the rest of these guys. Okay, so the reason that everyone is on the podcast today, and this is a little bit special, is that unfortunately today is the last episode of the Lifehacker podcast. At least the last episode for a while. We can call it an indefinite hiatus. The Lifehacker podcast will be going away for a myriad of reasons. Like we've always said on the show, it's just something that we kind of do in our free time for fun. Within the next few weeks, just a lot of things are going to be happening at Lifehacker, and I think we need to be focusing our efforts on some other things. So the podcast will be going on indefinite hiatus for the time being, at least. There may be something in the future that replaces it, similar to the podcast. It may be different than the podcast. We don't know, but sadly, you will not be getting the weekly dose of Lifehacker in your podcast app of choice for the near future. That said, there are still a ton of ways to keep up with all of the tips, tricks, and downloads that we share every week. We always talk about them at the end of the show, but I want to at least mention them up front here. Obviously, you can always follow the site at lifehacker.com. We're constantly putting up new stuff every day. But if you don't want to manually go to the site, you can subscribe to our RSS in something like Feedly, follow us on Twitter at lifehacker, or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifehacker, and as always on Google+ at google.com/+lifehacker. Honestly, the best way to follow us these days is probably on Facebook. We don't share everything we do to Facebook, just the best stuff. Honestly, the podcast lately has just been us picking stuff from Facebook. it's gotten to the point where the two are very similar. We won't bombard your feeds, and you get to kind of see all of the stories that we talk about every week as they happen. I know that's not the same, and that some of you will still be very sad, but that's the best I can offer right now. That said, I do have a second announcement that is really awesome, and this is kind of the perfect day for it because it really shows the effect that the Lifehacker podcast has had on the world. If you go to the Wikipedia page for LinkedIn and you scroll down to citation number 58, you will find that the citation for LinkedIn adding two-factor authentication is from Lifehacker. So clearly someone who listens to this podcast and knows that joke going back, I don't even know how far long ago that was, someone edited the Wikipedia page to include probably the biggest inside joke that the podcast has ever had. So thank you, everyone, for that send-off. All right, no news or top stories today. We're just going to jump right into questions, and everyone is going to share their favorite tips and downloads this week. So let's jump right into it. First question, Dachis, I have a feeling this is going to be for you.
Probably.
Jacob asks, I do a lot of video recording, and I like to save all my videos. The problem, though, is that they take up a lot of space in AVCHD format. Is there a format I could use to save space with a minimal loss in quality? What program would I need to do this?
That's a good question. The main thing you need is any kind of video converter. Handbrake is probably the best free one. And AVCHD is basically a format. It's a stream. It's a raw stream, essentially, from your camera in H.264. And you can convert that into an MP4 very easily with a regular converter program, and the files will still be the same size. But you can also drop it into Handbrake in many cases. Some streams are not created equal and they won't work. But generally speaking, you can drop it into Handbrake, convert it into an MP4 file that's H.264 encoded, and just lower the bitrate. And this works well without losing quality because the compression scheme your camera uses uses a very high bit rate to compensate for the fact that it's doing it on a camera in real time. Whereas when you have it, when you're encoding in a computer encoder on a piece of software, you can just let it go at a lower bit rate, and it will, I guess, it uses the codec, the H.264 codec, to think about it a little bit more carefully when it's encoding, because it's actually does it usually faster than in real time, but I don't know. I'm not entirely sure how it works, to be honest. But you can use lower bit rates and get away with the same kinds of quality. So I'd experiment with that. But the basic encoding presets in Handbrake are really, really great. So you should be able to just drop it in there, convert it, and that'll be that.
Cool. All right. Thanks. Next question comes from Tony, and I have a feeling this might be for a few of us. The gist of his question is, what are my choices for a prepaid carrier that uses AT&T's network? I'm looking for something cheaper than my monthly contract. So, show of hands from us, how many of us actually use a prepaid carrier rather than AT&T, Verizon, someone like that? Am I the only one?
No. You're the only, yeah. I think
by only if you count T-Mobile, and that doesn't really count.
No.
Exactly. Yeah, it's about halfway. Okay, wow, I didn't know I was the only one. Jeez, guys. We've done a high five on this, but I think, Alan, you might be able to back me up. Most of those used Verizon's network rather than AT&T's, the most popular ones.
Yeah, Verizon or Sprint.
Yeah. Sprint. Yeah, most of the most popular prepaid carriers use Sprint, which, depending on what kind of coverage you need, may or may not work. Like, obviously, things like Ting are really awesome, but they use Sprint's network. I was looking for the exact same thing. I am using AO Wireless, which was apparently just bought by Cricket, and that uses AT&T's network, and it's fantastic. And I know we've talked about it on the show. The way I found that is there's actually a Wikipedia page that's just a giant list of all the MVNOs in the U.S., that is the prepaid carriers that use spectrums from the big four, and it's just a giant list. And so you can kind of just start going through that and looking at their websites, see which ones let you bring your own device, and, you know, just doing a little bit of Googling and researching to see what the differences between them are. It's really a massive list and will open your eyes to a lot of what's out there. So that's what I recommend. And we also have a guide on finding the best prepaid plan, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes because that's a pretty good guide as well.
So yeah, I just want to mention, you said that IO is owned by who now?
AO is owned by Cricket.
Cricket?
I think they might actually be owned by AT&T.
They were? I think Cricket just bought AO from AT&T. I got a text message on my phone that said AO is now Cricket.
It actually looks like AT&T bought Cricket and is merging IO's brand into Cricket's brand. Oh,
that might be what it is.
So
interesting.
Yeah, so it's actually... Yeah, I had to look that up. I was looking it up while I was asking you. So I wasn't trying to undercut you. I was just figuring it out. But
okay, well, that's interesting.
But yeah, so if you're looking for an AT&T branded prepaid carrier, it would be Cricket.
Yeah, because it's controlled by AT&T, which is pretty nice. And so far, I've had great service from them. The actual cell phone service itself is very good. You know, it's throttled a little bit, but it's throttled at very usable speeds, you know? You're not going to be torrenting on it or anything. Well, you probably could, but I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. You know, I think it's like 8 megabits per second or something, which for my phone is more than enough.
Oh, yeah.
if they want one that's not owned by AT&T, then I guess Straight Talk and Net10 are both, I think, have AT&T compatibility at least.
I think Straight Talk actually has compatibility on multiple carriers. I think they're on like three of the four. Yeah, Verizon and AT&T for sure, and then I'm not sure what the third one is. And Straight Talk is very popular, and that was kind of like my second choice would have been Straight Talk, from what everything I heard. All right, next question is from Carrie, who asks, I have a Windows 7 desktop that I would like to set up with Wake on LAN to turn on my computer when I'm away. I've got the Wake on LAN option enabled and all of that, but when it comes to setting up the IP address, I am lost. Do I have to pay for Dyn DNS, or will DHCP reservations work fine? Dotchess, you can answer this if you want. I know you and I can both answer this, and possibly anyone else. I just don't want to hog the mic here.
Okay. Well, yeah, you should pay for Dyn DNS.
Dyn DNS is great. I think the bottom line is it's not really... is one good enough? It's more, what are you using? Are you going to be waking your computer from inside your house or from outside your house?
Yeah, and if it's from outside, you need to have that. If it's not, then you don't. Then those DHCP reservations are fine. And you should be using both, really.
Yeah, true. DHCP reservations only change the IP address from within your network, not outside of your network. That's controlled by your ISP. And I think there are some ISPs that support static IP addresses, but you'd have to talk to them to find out. So basically, if you want to access your computer from within your network, DHCP reservations are all you need. If you want to access your computer from outside your network, you need Dyn DNS, which is cheap. It's like $25 a year or something, isn't it?
It's a little bit more than that, but yeah, it's like it might be 40 or 35. It depends on what you get, but it's not. I mean, there are you can use Dyn DNS and no IP. I think both for free under certain circumstances. It's just really if you have your own domain name. If you want to use your own domain.
Okay. All right. Next up, Sam writes, I wanted to ask about some good ways to sell used stuff online. So I'm sure everyone's going to have opinions about this. Yep. I know there are options with Amazon, eBay, and others, but I don't know if and how one is better than the other. So, opinions?
Yeah, but I think you and I should skip this one for now. Let some other people talk.
Alan, I know you have a lot to say on this.
I do. Well, on the bright side, I just emptied out a whole bunch of crap that I don't need anymore, and I sold my last thing on Amazon, which was really cool, right before they raised the rates on us. So Amazon is great because Amazon Seller is great because you can list your stuff alongside product listings at Amazon, right? So somebody goes looking for something at Amazon and see how much it costs, then your thing will show up there as well. But, of course, Amazon takes a huge cut depending on the program you sign up for, of how much you sell your item for, and their shipping credits are never enough to actually cover the cost of shipping the item to the winner or the person who bought it.
And they're two different. I'm still having trouble with the two different services they offer and how to pick them. I accidentally picked the one I didn't want, and then I picked the one I did want, and it's one of those things where I still don't know how to get to each one.
So there's Amazon Seller. I just call it Amazon Seller, right? But I think that's generally how it's referred to. And then there's Fulfilled by Amazon. And now, if I remember right, Dotchess, you signed up for Fulfilled by Amazon.
I use both. You can use both at the same time. And yeah, because Fulfilled by Amazon, you send Amazon a box of your crap, and then and then they list it on the site. Well, you list it on the site, and you send them the box, and then they ship it out for you. And then you don't have to deal with shipping credits.
Yeah, and that's kind of cool because then people who have like Amazon Prime, they can, like, your stuff can qualify for Prime shipping because it's sitting in an Amazon warehouse. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is that the longer your stuff sits in that Amazon warehouse, then Amazon's going to start charging you storage fees for it.
Yeah,
okay.
So that obviously takes a bite out of your bottom line.
If it sells quickly, do they still take a bigger cut for Fulfilled by Amazon?
No, because there's a membership fee for Fulfilled by Amazon, whereas Amazon Seller has no fee at all, and they take a cut on a per item basis.
Well, crap! I might be paying a membership fee to Fulfilled by Amazon for stuff that I'm not selling.
That would be kind of crappy.
Both times though, they took a pretty big cut, I ended up paying a lot more than I intended to, and the money I got back was like. Ended up being half of what I was selling the item for.
Right. You know? That's the thing. I mean, Amazon makes it super easy, and you have the biggest possible audience, but you are going to walk away with the least amount of money. partially because you do the least amount of work. I mean, right. You could put it up on Amazon or on eBay, and eBay still takes a cut. It's a smaller cut.
It's a very small cut.
But you have to do a lot more work. And then,
you have to do a ton more work.
And then, well, the other thing is with eBay and Craigslist and those options, you tend to get lower prices, too. I mean, like, you can't make as much total. So Craigslist tends to be a lot more work, in my opinion, and I avoid that one. I avoid Craigslist eBay because I hate eBay, but... Yeah, Craigslist is the most work, and you often don't make much more money off of it because everyone tries to haggle you down. So, you know, it's kind of a you never really know if you're going to make one more than the other, because Amazon you can definitely demand a higher price with, and you just get a lower cut.
I used all three of those, in addition to things like Swappa for selling my old phone, One of the things that I found is that which one you used also depends a lot on what you're selling. Yeah. Because certain things just aren't going to sell as, you know, a pair of headphones is going to sell way better on Amazon than it is on Craigslist, because people aren't searching Craigslist for a specific pair of headphones. But people will be searching Craigslist for, like, you know, an old dresser or coffee table or something like that.
If you're selling it for free.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, furniture is such a pain in the ass.
Alan, you did a guide called The Complete Guide to Selling Your Unwanted Crap for Money. And that, I think, was a really good breakdown of what kinds of things sell better on each service.
Yeah.
So I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
I'm curious when you guys would rather do one of the trade-in programs, like Amazon Trade-In, or go to the effort of, like, trying to sell your stuff. Because I do not have the, you know, patience or whatever to actually sell my stuff online. Can you not hear me?
No, funny story. I was walking by a bin downstairs where a bunch of people, like, old books and DVDs that they don't want, and anybody can have them if they want them. And I picked up a couple, like, season 3 and season 4 of Scrubs or something. I forget what it was. Anyway, no, it was Psych. Anyway, the point being, I looked at Amazon's trade-in program versus how much used items were going for. And the trade-ins were like $3.99, you know, $4.99 for a season, which is terrible, but you get that money immediately. You send it right away to them. You know, they'll take it and they give you the money. Yeah, exactly. So if you don't have the patience and you just want to get rid of this crap, it's a good option. If you're actually trying to make some more money, I mean, I wound up selling both of those for like $16 and $20, you know, so... I mean, not bad for something you got for free, but at the same time, it's still better than $4 or $5.
And if you're selling something more expensive, if you're trading in like a phone to Amazon because they take gadgets, you know, you'll get a little bit more money back, but it's still not anywhere near what you'll get compared to selling it. Think of it more like a recycle bin that gives you a little bit of money when you give it something.
It's super cool if you're like, I got all this crap, I need to get rid of it right now. You know, if you don't want
to. I literally want nothing to do with it. Like, I don't want anything at all.
Like my ex just moved out and I need to get rid of all their crap. That's perfect.
Their crap. Before they come back for it.
Yeah, sorry, I sold it. Here's the $2
I got. One thing I want to mention that wasn't on that guide is also, if you don't want to try Craigslist, go for Facebook, because there are tons of yard sale groups on Facebook that it's basically the exact same thing. You can sell whatever furniture or whatever junk you've got, but you're not attached to anonymous creepy guys that are going to beat you up in an alley and take your pants. That's not a true story.
That's not something I've ever had happen to me.
People aren't on Facebook.
Don't take my pants.
Just your pants, though, not your underpants.
Well, I don't want that, no.
No.
Honestly, I've had nothing but good experiences on Craigslist, except for one time where a guy sold me a hard drive that died like 4 days later.
Yeah, but then
I learned just don't buy hard drives.
Don't buy Seagate, man.
Yeah, that's the
old thing. I made a lucrative living selling zip drives and zip disks.
That is the first time anyone said that sentence.
Seriously? Ever. There are people out there who still have zip disks and nothing to read them in, right? Or they have a busted zip drive. They found a cache of zip disks from ancient times and they don't know what to do with them.
Wait, so where'd you get your supply of zip drives?
That's a different story.
Crime? Was it crime?
That sounds really sketchy.
For the next episode.
I'm part of this zip disk mafia. Exclusively an outdated technology. We've got a lot of CRT TVs if you want some.
Right. I got some old monitors.
It's not CDs. Yeah. Zip drive better.
Watches.
Oh, man. Anyway, so that's a good tip. Thank you, Eric. All right. Last question, and I think since it's the last episode of the podcast, this is more of a frequently asked question than something someone asked this week, although two people did ask variations of this question this week, and we literally get it every week. And it goes something like this. Dear Life Hacker, should I get the Moto X or the Nexus 5? I can't decide. Or, Dear Life Hacker, I can't decide between the Samsung Note 3 or the S5. Or, Dear Life Hacker, I can't decide between literally any Android phone and literally any other Android phone ever. Which one should I get? And the answer is we can't really answer, except I'm pretty sure all of us would say Moto X.
I would say that, and I don't even have one.
Except for the iPhone users. If the question is S3 or Note, or S5 or Note 3, Moto X.
See, the funny thing is we always get that question with the flagship phones that are all really good.
Yeah.
There's never like, what's between this mid-range phone and this other crappy mid-range phone?
Should I get the LG Fusion or the, like... You know, Actually, so I know Alan, Eric, and I all have the Moto X.
Yeah.
Mel, what do you have? I know you're not an iPhone user, are you?
I have the Nexus 5.
Oh!
I got that before the Moto X came out.
Nexus 5 was out before the Moto X?
Yeah, for a little.
What? Okay. Well, then we'll have a little battle royale here. actually, I really like the Nexus 5. That was kind of my decision, was Moto X or Nexus 5. The best advice, the thing is, we can't answer that because everyone has different tastes, obviously. And the other thing is, we're not, because we're not a gadget blog, we're not a hardware blog, we don't have as much experience with every phone out there. We only have experience with the phones that we ourselves have bought or that like our significant others or siblings or whatever have, which is just not as much as, you know, say our compatriots at Gizmodo, our sister site. So we can answer some of these questions. You know, my decision was the Moto X versus the Nexus 5 for specific reasons. But I found that out by reading gadget sites like Gizmodo, Engadget. I mean, Android blogs, there are a lot of Android blogs that do really good reviews. And you can honestly just Google like Moto X versus Nexus 5, and you'll find a ton of forum discussions, and reviews from people who have actually used both phones. And that's always the best way to go.
I would argue that's the second best way to go. In my experience, the best way is to go to a store that has a working demo, not a dummy unit. Go to a store, pick it up so you can see the software and you can see how it feels.
I think that's important, too.
That's such a personal thing. Like, I know some people who like Sense. So I know someone who likes TouchWiz. And
ooh, what?
Oh, God.
I'm not friends with them anymore, but I know of them.
Eric killed him.
Good. And took his pants.
If he needs help with the body, then he needs to let
me
know.
I'm going to come to the Zip Drive Mafia.
We got your back.
I know. I think that's absolutely true. I think there's something to be said for trying it yourself. I'm just so disappointed by every demo unit I've ever used. Like, attached to that stupid thing, I can't put it into my pocket and see how it fits. You know, there's only so much you can actually do on the phone to test it out.
Also, somehow they're always slow. The fastest phone in the world is always slow.
So I think it's important to do that, but if you know someone that has it, it's more important to try out their phone. But even that can only take you so far. You're going to learn a lot more you're going to learn more about what each phone can do and just its look and feel from reviews. You know, I learned that I care more about the Moto X's battery life and the you know, always on Google Now thing and all that more than wireless charging or the size of the Nexus 5, which wouldn't fit in my pocket.
Your priorities for what you want in your phone, like if you want a replaceable battery, then you're going to want a Samsung phone. Mm-hmm. If you want, audio quality, it depends on what your priorities are, really. And I feel like it always comes down to, like, the biggest conflicts are usually Samsung versus PC for some reason every year.
Yeah, basically. I mean, because those are the biggest names.
Well, also, yeah.
Nexus, and whoever's making the Nexus.
I think people should be buying from a place whenever possible with a good return policy because, you know... Yeah. You're going to get the best experience out of using it for about 30 days. And if you can, you know, take it back when you're done, if you don't like it, then that's not a bad thing to do. But that's not always a possibility with some of these phones like the Nexus 5 and the Moto X.
Anything to add, Thorin?
Nope, I got nothing.
iPhone users.
I hate gadgets so much, I just want someone to hand it to me.
Hey, Thorin, iPhone 5S or iPhone 5C?
I don't even know which one's in my pocket. I don't care.
It rings when someone calls.
Yeah.
It has one like my email.
They're all the same.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The last thing I'd add is that, Eric, you did a really good guide on how to pick your next Android phone. And so we'll put a link to that in the show notes. And I think that probably contains a lot of what we've said. But I think it talks about some of the biggest features that are just popular in Android phones today and stuff like that.
And I'll go take a look through that probably today and see if I need to update anything with the S5 and HTC
One. It does say
One,
2013 One. Edition.
Yeah.
But I think you wrote it in like December of 2013.
Most of it looks like it's still true, so.
Yeah. All right. So, wow, not a lot of live questions this week. Nothing I think I can answer right away, unless someone has an opinion about Office versus Google Drive.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's throw down.
Mel, you have to have an opinion.
Yeah,
I have lots of opinions.
Okay, here we go. He says, with the Office app finally available on Android to non-Office 365 subscribers, should I move from Google Drive to OneDrive?
I would base that on what you're using it for. If you're using it for work and you have very complex documents that you're working on, Office, I think, is a lot better. It has more of the rich features that you need.
Even the Office app on Android or the Office 365 thing, or no, he said non-Office 365, so I don't know if he's planning on using it on the desktop too or not.
Office 365 is kind of a pretty boring, right? Like, feature-wise?
Probably, but he says he's not subscribed.
Here's the basic, and I think someone was saying a couple features like still require you to have a subscription, but I can't tell if that was...
Oh, I have a subscription. It's just the, yeah, when I was writing my book, I had to use Office, so I just subscribed. So
That's the thing, sometimes you're required to use Office, and because you're required to, you want that format fidelity, so you're going to use Office.
If not, Thorin, you did a guide today, actually, this is timely, on how to make Google Drive work more like a desktop Office client, kind of, how to add, if you don't need all of the features of Office, but there are one or two more advanced features that you like, how to add those to Google Drive, how to make it work offline, things like that. So go check out Life Hacker today. Thorin's guide may answer some of your questions. Okay, let's move on to our tips and downloads of the week, shall we?
I guess we
can. Oh, David asks why Thorin is sitting in front of what looks like a firing squad wall. I thought it looked like he was sitting in a coffee shop.
Yeah. It's a sunny day in Seattle today, and I got a weird window that's just giving a weird light. I'm over here.
I want to know where the firing squads are that have such nice artwork.
They want to give you a nice experience before you're shot multiple times.
Speaking of firing squads consumer and service. Artwork, Dotchess, I don't know if you saw this, but a couple weeks ago on the podcast when you were in Arizona, there was a painting or whatever behind you that was the United States made out of guns.
Was it?
Yeah, everyone was asking where it came from. Like, a ton of people were like, wow, where did you get that?
The United States made out of guns? Why would my parents have that?
Yeah, you didn't see that? This was in where you were in Arizona or wherever it was.
That was my parents' house. That's my dad has a knife, but he doesn't have a gun. That's weird.
I don't know. It was literally the United States made out of, like, gun drawings.
This is also where we realized the cross-section between life hacker audience and gun fanatic.
It's higher than we thought.
It's possible my mom made it and it means something because she makes art. I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, we have a little devil that flicks people off when they come in, or they do. I'm, like, I live there. So there's a lot of interesting stuff. In the kitchen, there's there are two sock monkeys and a meat grinder.
I want to come to your house.
It's interesting. Yes. Yeah, it's an interesting place.
I'm starting to understand more about you, Dotchess.
Yeah, this actually came from most of the stuff was my mom's idea to get. So
all of a sudden, you don't seem like a black sheep.
No, I'm not. Our family's pretty dirty. My dad imbued me with bathroom humor and. Yeah, I mean, my parents are very proud of my, I guess, the poop that I put out into the world.
All right, well, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
There's a really easy last question from Colin. If you use Bootcamp on a Mac laptop, do you use any custom drivers or programs for the trackpad or just the ones that Apple provides? I use the ones that Apple provides. Anyone else?
Same.
Yeah, I know there are other ones out there, but... They've just, okay, Eric. I know there are other ones out there and we posted about them. I always end up going back to the regular ones just because I don't need anything special. But, all right, tips of the week. Alan,
Kick
us off. This week, since it is the last episode of the show and we have everyone here, we'll be sharing tips and downloads not just from this week but from
forever
on Lifehacker. Your favorite tip or download that has just changed life the most, or your favorite guide you ever wrote, whatever. Just anything goes this week. We have some really weird crap on this list. So, Alan.
Really weird crap.
Go ahead and start with your favorite tip or tips, as the case may be.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of flow together, and they're not. It's so hard to say what my favorite tip of all time is. It all starts to blend together when you've been reading Lifehacker as long as it's all of us have, I think. But so my parting shot to anybody who might be watching is really kind of a guide that I put together on how to be a good internet citizen. And the gist is really just not being a jerk is not enough to make you a good internet citizen, although it's a good start. If you really want to make the internet an awesome place, then start by contributing something, make something, build something, kind of contribute your own ideas. And that's kind of something that I think that it's what a lot of what got me writing, because I was tired of people just being jerks. But it's something that I think that we could all use a bit more of, because everybody's got opinions. It's just they would be better read if people would take time to actually elegantly describe and discuss them instead of being like, oh, you suck and you should feel bad. So in the same vein, I would suggest that when you are putting those opinions together, you take a look at our guides to how to tell if something on the internet that's controversial is actually true, because in many cases it is not, and how to avoid spreading myths and information online, especially in an age of Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr, where unsourced everything can turn into a discussion that a reality of its own that everybody's like, oh, this thing, I saw this thing on Facebook, it must be true. And
just like retweeting quotes and stuff that never happened.
Right.
Or
right. Or like, like stories and things that just never took place and were written by some guy just at some point.
Tips that people failed to look up on Snopes.
Things like that. Pinterest fails.
You mean like the only place that has two-factor authentication is LinkedIn?
Exactly. Or like make only cheese place. In your toaster by putting it sideways.
Oh, I remember that.
But you're not supposed to do that?
Crap. You know, no.
Well, if you want grilled cheese, if you want your grilled cheese to be shot across the floor, you then absolutely.
Well, I do, so
mop your floor with grilled cheese.
I still want to do a list one day of the posts that somehow got up on Lifehacker that never should have ever been up on Lifehacker. Because yeah. There are some, and that is one of them.
The best part though is like whenever anybody says, oh man, I miss the old days at Lifehacker, we have a list.
Back when they would post like anything.
Yeah. What turkey, was the turkey one,
shooting?
Gotcha?
Oh yeah, yeah. When Erica Sadoun posted, you know, relieve stress by shooting a turkey.
What? I think it was a video, like an online flash game.
Yeah, it was a flash game.
Or something. It was something that would never fly on Lifehacker now.
You know,
like, where did this even come from?
Yeah.
I think
there were some special things Whitson, on Lifehacker.
I think since it's the last podcast, we should read it.
dramatic reading.
May I?
A dramatic reading of this post. Yes, please go ahead.
It's called De-Stress from the Week with a Turkey Shoot by Erica Sedun. Long week, annoying boss, irritating coworkers, treat yourself to a well-deserved Friday afternoon break by blasting some turkeys. Hate senseless violence? Use a camera to shoot your critters instead of a gun. You can even select the Kiss the Turkey game if you're so inclined. Gobble, gobble, smack. Guan. Get some of that tension off your chest and get ready to partay this weekend. And remember, Lifehacker loves you. Turkey shoot.
What is...
So if you're having a rough day, go play that Flash game from like 2008.
Yeah. Kiss the Turkey.
That should be our blast from the past for the week.
It does need an update.
Yeah, it's a little...
If only. Okay.
Every paragraph is a sentence.
With that in mind, let's move on to Eric's tip of the week ever.
The tip of ever? Okay.
Yes.
Actually, I also have two on here, but that's because I can't find one of them, and I can never find this one. I don't know why. This is the only article on Lifehacker I can never find.
If you describe it to me, I might be able to find it.
I can't. I think it was back when Gino was still around. It was...
Then I probably can't find it.
Yeah.
Those are really hard to find.
Yeah. It was describing in your budget, there is a gap between your income and your bills. That gap, increase that. That is the function of your entire budgeting. Is like when you're... Yeah, when you're trying...
There might have even been like a clever name for it.
I thought that they called it the gap.
I can't find that either. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about, which is the really sad thing. So one day I'll see if I can find it. But it's a simple tip that you don't really need to read the article to understand. Yeah.
Well, I found it twice, but I keep forgetting the articles where I linked it, so I can't even find those.
I mean, it's really just a fancier way of saying spend less than you make.
Yeah, but see,
the,
like
the bigger that gap is,
yeah,
the more money you have.
Exactly. Like that. Like when I remember, it was years ago. I saw that visualization, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Okay, so because like that says not only spend less money, but make more money. Like I was working at Walmart trying to save 5 cents here and there, and I'm like, wait, no, I need to just make more money. That's what I need to do. Yeah. And I know that sounds dumb. I know that sounds obvious, but I was stupid.
So. Well, and you did that other really great article about the financial advice I wish I had ignored when I was broke.
No, that I'm glad I ignored.
Yeah. I really like that one.
Yeah. I should have just said that one, shouldn't I have?
Anyway, so I'm seriously looking for this gap post, but while I do this, you can go ahead and...
I found it. No way! I think.
All of this is related to my tip, oddly enough, which is how to find any post on Lifehacker.
Yeah.
Which apparently we can't do sometimes. See, if you limit the date range, I feel like that would help. Anyway, what was your other tip, Eric?
Yeah, okay, so the other tip is how to talk at the movie theater, and I'm saying that one particularly because I'm about to spend 5 hours in the movie theater, but also because everyone hates that guy, and I love being that guy. So
you love being the guy that everybody hates?
Are you surprised by that at all?
No, actually. It was like how to talk in the movie theater without being a douche nozzle, right?
It's totally possible. Like, there are people who make their job they get paid money to do this, so it's clearly possible. But I don't think there's a single tip in there. Just, you know, be quiet, be funny, and don't be an ass.
And of course, it had one of the biggest backlashes of any life hacker post. Mm-hmm. Almost as big as that time I did a post on how to cheat at online video games for Evil Week. Mm-hmm. That was a special day.
Yeah, let me see. This one was, because this one, it only got viewed like 30,000 times, which is fairly low, but 120 replies. So is
the post you were talking about, is it the 60% savings rule?
Is that the one
you found?
Yeah, I found that, and then there's another one called Why the Gap is the Personal Finance Number That Matters the Most.
That, yes.
Okay.
I knew it was called The Gap.
Everyone bow down to Alan's awesomeness.
It helps when you've been reading this site since it started.
You have actually been reading longer than I have, I think.
See, this isn't doesn't come up in Google. This isn't even the same one. Like, it's the same concept, but it's not the same one. Because this Tessa just posted last year.
Oh, well.
But that idea, yeah.
Works well enough. All right, cool.
I'm bookmarking on this.
Now that we're sharing more stories than I can keep track of for the show notes, so good thing my tip will come in handy. Thorin, share your favorite.
Mine's a tip quote. Quote tip? Basically, go the F home. Can I say? I can't say. Can I?
It's the last podcast.
Thank you for that.
It's the last podcast. Doesn't matter.
Go the fuck home. Just
and now I gotta bleep that out.
So, yep, that's it. Mine's pretty self-explanatory.
It was a really good. It's a video, right? It was a video from like a TED Talk or something.
Yeah, it's just kind of a reminder that when you're done with work, man, just stop checking your email, stop working, just go home and just relax and just don't think about anything. Just be bored. Just quit looking at a screen for like an hour. It's fine.
I have serious problems with that because I relax by like playing video games on this same computer where I write.
Relax by reading the internet.
Like, that's why I don't play computer games. That's what I said in my like console speaking of articles. I have way too many comments and people want to kill me for. But Whitson and I is like, why I'm a PC gamer, why I'm a console gamer. My main reason is that I don't want to look at my computer anymore. Like that's the main reason.
And for this, the Go the Fuck Home article, she has some really good points. Like,
Note the time, Adam.
Just don't even worry about it. If you're working extra hours, you're earning less money for your time. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that. If you can't name two things you're regularly doing outside of work, you're spending too much time at work. It's a really good video. I think it's only like 10 minutes. No, it's 5 minutes. Go watch it. Mm-hmm. Everyone should watch this video.
Yep.
All right, Mel. You have a lot.
Mine is more like a general topic, which is time management, because that's my biggest problem, like managing my time, which I guess...
Life as a freelancer.
It goes with the go the F home thing, too, just like being more productive with the energy and the time that you have. So there are a whole bunch of things that we've done on that before, so it's more about like managing your energy and you know, your mindset when you're working.
And you got a few links in here that I'll add to the show notes, like finding your most productive hours of the day and putting your most important tasks in those hours.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just wasting your time.
That is really good. Like that's something I've been learning over the last 6 months. Because I'll be like, I would usually just sit at my computer and stare at it, knowing my mind is shut off. It's dead. I'm not getting anything. And if I force myself to keep writing at that point, usually that's the day. Like the next day, Whitson goes, "This is crap. This isn't even a sentence. What is this?" So now when I get there, I'm like, "Okay, you're not going to do anything anyway. Just go take a nap."
Yeah.
You're
making Whitson out to be way more harsh.
No,
that's happened before.
It has happened, but it never happens.
The sentences that Eric has actually put in a draft in real life. Shut up, Google. Wow, this is Google. My Google Now is really aggressive today, and I don't know why. It keeps like, "Hey, Whitson, how can I help you? Shut up, go away. I didn't ask you for anything." No, seriously. And I think we've all had some of these days, but it's easy to tell when Eric is working like on his
those articles, Eric.
But it's true, right? If you just schedule your time correctly and work during those good hours, you know, it just makes your life so much easier.
Yeah, and see, I'm bad at scheduling my time, but it's more like that's why I'm saying the energy thing is because I won't have it scheduled, but I'll realize what state I'm in, and I'm like, nope, this isn't working. So
yeah. And the further ahead of time you work, you know, you can sometimes just put it in a drawer and come back to it later.
Yeah,
you know, figurative drawer. I don't think I own any drawers, actually, in my office. There are no drawers. Anyway, hi, Dachis. What's your
no drawers, no pants, no trousers.
I have a dresser in the bedroom, but that's it. There are no drawers in my desk or in, like, I don't have a filing cabinet. I just have a box. Like,
we're all
mentally replacing drawers with underwears, and now you're talking about you have a box.
Yeah. Oh, I
talking about that's boxes, weird. And we're all talking about none of us.
I've never used the word drawers to refer to underwear seriously in my life. Well,
apparently, you've never hung out with, like, a grandma.
Do grandmas say that?
Mine does.
Whitson, your vocabulary comes from 1950. How do you not say that?
Yeah, my family's from the same part of the country as yours is. I'm surprised you wouldn't have heard of that.
Yeah, I've never. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never actually used it in a sentence, like, seriously.
Golly.
Jeez. Gosh, golly darn. Gee whiz, Dodges. Why don't you share your tip?
I couldn't think of a favorite tip, so I just picked one that I wrote last week.
And the award for lamest life hacker post goes to.
I just I love
the poop
that
posts out there.
Well, there are a lot of poop posts out there. That's great and everything.
This
I don't think
what you give us.
Yeah. Well, no.
Don't
I
you want your parents to be proud.
They are proud. I have. I wrote a chapter in my book called "Accidentally Pooping During Sex." Took a picture of it, texted them, and said, "This is what you made."
That is actually one of my greatest fears in life.
And they were.
No, is that Adam is going to text your parents?
No.
Second greatest fear in life, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I can see how that could go wrong.
What?
I know too much.
Yeah, anyway.
My tip is actually about autocorrect. And I did this because I have this problem with both my wife and my boyfriend. And.
We're going out great.
Yep.
That took me a second. Wait,
yes, I'm married to my roommate. But the... mm-hmm. So the... I forgot what it was. Oh, yeah, autocorrect. The... Whenever we type food and we're talking about what kind of food do you want, or that food was really good, it corrects food to good, even though food is a word. And the iPhone does this all the time, and it's really obnoxious. And so one way you can fix this problem is by going into your typing shortcuts, which is in general keyboard typing shortcuts, I think, something like that. We'll have a link to the post in case I mess that up. But you can go in and say, I want food to autocorrect to food. And just tell it, if I type this, I want you to correct it to the same thing I just typed. And then it will say it's auto-correcting it to food, even though you typed food, but then it won't put good.
This is the saddest life hack.
I know, it is really sad.
Ever.
But
at least you won't have to deal with, you know, go the duck home anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I made two very important people in my life happy with that one, so I thought it was a nice last tip.
All right, that trick might actually work on Android as well, at least with the stock keyboard. I think they have the shortcut feature there as well. I know it's geared towards iPhone users, but yeah,
so it's okay. And if Android wants to participate, I'm happy to include them.
iPhone.
I think Android just
either one of you. Sorry. Anyway. So my tip, the last tip. Is a tip that I think every listener should know. And I try to evangelize this. Oh no, Firefox just crashed. You're killing Firefox. Wow, it's a really good thing I have this hang on Google Chrome, or that would have been really suspenseful.
Firefox is having all sorts of problems this week.
Yeah, oh man, that was rough. We get a lot of questions every week. Kind of like the one today about selling stuff online that we've actually answered in excruciating depth on the site. And you know, we'll get questions on Twitter and stuff too. People just ask me questions like, is there a life hacker guide on this? And I'm like, well, yes, there is. And I'll send them the link. The nice thing is you don't actually have to ask us a lot of times, with the exception of posts like the money gap that we cannot seem to find ever. You can almost always find a post on Life Hacker really easily by searching. And I don't mean using the search on Lifehacker.
Do we even have it?
Do we have it?
We do. Yeah. But between you and me and everyone listening to this podcast, it's not the best. I'm just going to throw it out there.
It's somewhat the opposite of the best.
I know. So what I recommend for anyone trying to find a post on Lifehacker or wondering if we've covered a certain thing, go to Google and type site:lifehacker.com and your search terms. So if you want to find something, you know, something about eBay versus Amazon versus Craigslist, just search site:lifehacker.com, eBay, Amazon, Craigslist, and you'll find all of the posts we've ever done, comparing them, talking about selling stuff, all of that, and you'll find the ones that we talked about on the show today, as well as many others. It is the best way to find what you are looking for on Lifehacker. And kind of going along with that is if you go to lifehacker.com/index, you can find the new Lifehacker Index, which has some of the, you know, the best posts to kind of introduce you to Lifehacker, some of our 101 guides, stuff like that, that kind of take you back to the beginning, the instruction on how to search Lifehacker, popular categories, recurring features like our night schools or always up-to-date guides, and an up-to-date list of all the Lifehacker sub-blogs. So honestly, that's almost a, you know, it's just as good of a homepage as the actual Lifehacker homepage, because it kind of just is a really good starting point, especially if you're a little bit new to the site. So that's my tip, is search Lifehacker via Google and go to the Lifehacker Index, because I worked really hard on it, please.
It's very good. It is.
All right. Downloads?
Yes.
Downloads.
All right.
Alan, favorite Google the same
thing. All time, everyone.
I agree with Alan.
Alan, go.
Dropbox. Live it.
What does Dropbox do? I don't use it.
Dropbox is that thing that you put files in and then they magically appear on all the things that you own, except they don't take up space, sort of, sometimes.
Wait.
Anyway.
That's only on mobile, actually, that they don't take up space.
But anyway, I mean, I think everybody reasonably, like seriously, knows what Dropbox is. And it's not the only game in town. I know before people start emailing me or spamming me with copy.com referral codes. there are plenty of other alternatives, and there are better alternatives if you're concerned about privacy and encryption and things like that. We've talked about
just pure space.
Or just pure space, yeah. But the nice thing about Dropbox is, partially because it was first to the game, really, everybody knows about it. There are billions of third-party tools and add-ons, so you can do all kinds of crazy things with it, like auto-upload your photos from your phone and automatically upload screenshots and get links dropped in your clipboard and all these other things. So, yeah, use Dropbox or something similar if you found something that you like better.
Unless you don't have multiple computers, in which case it's perfectly acceptable to not use Dropbox, guys, and if your friends make fun of you, kick them in the shins.
And then if you get kicked in the shin, just punch your friend in the face because your friend is stupid.
Escalation is a great thing.
And I'm pretty sure we have a guide on how to throw the perfect punch. So
yeah, we do actually.
I was actually about to ask if we have a guide to bar fights, but that works just as well.
I'm pitching next week.
If you really want to demonstrate why your friend should be using Dropbox, take their laptop and smash it over their head.
That's weird. Okay.
Because then they won't have a backup.
That's more of a why they should use CrashPlan.
Yeah, but Dropbox is, you know, then they.
Pash and Dotch just like to make fun of me about how long it took me to use Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
It was last week.
It wasn't this morning. It was in like 2009. Anyway, all right, Eric, your pick.
Okay, my pick for best download of all time is Goat Simulator, and the main reason for this is because, okay, we deal with, like, a lot of how to get stuff done or, like, the best mental approaches for getting stuff done. I don't think we ever really deal with the why you do the things you do, and you play Goat Simulator and you learn a lot about your life and what you want out of it. You
how?
Realize, like, where you're going.
You realize you want some goats?
Yes.
This is amazing.
Yes.
This is amazing.
I've been playing it for one day, and it's changed my life. So.
All right. Good to know. Goat Simulator. Available. What? Just Windows?
I think it's only just for Windows, right? It's probably not going to come to any platform. This is the
They've
only game
I've ever won't.
Played that's like, this is buggy and crappy, and no, we're not fixing
gaming
it.
Gaming Master Race.
Oh, my God,
oh no! Wait, they are working on Mac and Linux versions. So.
Oh, they are. That's not what really? They said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so this is going to be a cross-platform goat.
Hooray!
Do they make it for the Oculus Rift?
Oh, they should.
Because if not, I'm not interested.
I think they were going to, but then Oculus got acquired by Facebook, and they said they don't want their goats associated with Facebook.
No one does.
All right, Goat Simulator, productivity tool of the decade. From Eric Ravenscraft. Thorin,
put that in my byline.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Now I have to do a serious one. I feel weird now. anyway, mine's simple note. Kind of like Dropbox. We've talked about it a bajillion times, but the basic premise is I was thinking if I was only allowed to have one app installed on my computer, it would be Simple Note. That's it.
All right. Simple Note is basically plain text syncing.
Yeah.
Across everything.
Cool. It also doesn't look like crap anymore, which is nice.
Oh, that's nice. And you know, for other platforms, Notational Velocity on the Mac is a good Simple Note client. Resolve Notes is a horrible Simple Note client for Windows.
No, Simple Note on the Mac exists now.
It does?
Yeah.
Is it better than Notational Velocity?
Yes.
Or NV Alt?
Yes.
All right.
It's just like a white box where you type in. It's amazing. It's great.
All right. well, so in a kind of counterpoint to that, Mel, your pick
is Evernote.
Which is the opposite. If note two note taking programs can be the opposite of each other, this is what that is.
Yeah. You're either gonna choose Simple Note or Evernote.
Yeah. Or OneNote, maybe.
Or OneNote or one of these others.
Or a bunch of others.
Whatever.
If you had to share what is it about Evernote that's changed your life?
You know, the thing about Evernote is I keep trying to go away from it. I keep trying to leave it for Google Keep, for OneNote, for SpringPad, and whatever. And none of them really do as much as Evernote can, in the way that it saves your information, the way that it tags it and searches it. And it's just hard. It's hard for a OneNote user, Evernote user, to actually leave it because it's just so capable.
It's like a digital brain of everything.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to say that my favorite tip of all time was your "I've been using Evernote all wrong" post, because like finally someone gets it. Like, why?
Well, and that was the thing, is I didn't get it for years.
Yeah.
Until I like figured, and this was like, what's really funny is this was like a throwaway feature. I was like, I don't have a feature for tomorrow. What the hell am I going to write about? And I just like banged this out and thought it was like the stupidest thing in the world. And apparently a lot of people identified
with it.
Yeah, I guess. And I like being wrong in those situations. But yeah, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's just, it kind of showcases what Evernote can do. I was trying to use Evernote like Simple Note. You know, it's not really a place to just type stuff. It's a place to save stuff from the web clipper and organize everything that's in your brain and take photos of stuff and organize it into a billion different notebooks rather than trying to just have a list of text notes, which just doesn't really excel at. But it's a great program. And we, you know, everyone knows that we talk about it all the time. So, but if you're not using it, go read this and use it. My download is one that I'm sure we've talked about before. And I was trying to pick something that I haven't already talked about a million times, like Media Monkey or Music Bee. AutoHotKey is not only one of the apps that changed like my computing the most, but it's like one of the biggest reasons I'm still on Windows and have not been able to switch back to Mac or Linux. AutoHotKey, for those that don't know, is essentially a scripting language, but that makes it sound much more intimidating than it is. It's insanely easy to use. If you've never had any programming experience, you can do anything as simple as remapping keys to making keys perform specific actions that your computer can't already do, to writing entire programs in AutoHotKey. And there's tons of stuff on their forums, on Lifehacker, great scripts that you can kind of take and mold to your will. And it's just amazing everything you can do with it. It's like, it is to Windows as Tasker is to Android. It doesn't really do the same thing, but it's just that open-ended and that much of an essential tool in my mind that I can't live without it now.
I like any tool that lets you mold things to your will.
Yes, including other people's minds.
But I don't remember that in the documentation, but I'm going to go check that out.
Dachis, your download actually goes with a question we got from David. So I'm going to let you do your download, yes. And then we'll all answer David's question.
Well, my first download is actually for the My Mouth platform, and it's a peanut butter Snickers bar, which is delicious. And the other positive thing about Snickers and peanut butter Snickers is that if you're not sure what like the perfect poop consistency is, if you don't know if you're pooping healthfully, it should look like a Snickers bar. Maybe a little less rectangular though.
I was hungry and then now I'm not. That was like a 10 seconds.
Yeah, that was a really quick turnaround for me.
Yeah, no, goes in the same way it comes out. So just, you know, the multiple things you can do with Snickers. But the peanut butter ones, they're delicious. I just discovered them recently.
I'm skeptical about the peanut butter ones.
No, you'd be surprised. I was really skeptical too, and then I took a bite of one. I was very, very pleasantly surprised by it.
Anyway, the peanut butter ones still a good reference for poop, or should we stick with the regular Snickers?
Well, it depends. So the regular Snickers are probably better if you're getting a full-size Snickers, because then it's more of a poop shape. The peanut butter ones are square. So it's good for consistency, but not necessarily if you're pooping square, then unless you're Q-Bert, it's probably not the best.
Alan is looking pleadingly at his camera, begging for mercy.
Welcome to the Life Hacker Podcast, people.
I couldn't leave it without something. This couldn't be the last one without poop. My real download, though, is for iOS and OS X. It is the only app that I'll ever use, ever, supposedly, called Downcast. It's a podcasting app, and it's just wonderful.
Not for making podcasts, but listening to podcasts.
No, it's for listening to podcasts. It's for organizing your podcast, creating playlists of all the stuff you want to listen to. It can sync between OS X and iOS. So if you're an Apple person, it's very, very wonderful.
My favorite part about Downcast is the ability to, like, the kind of live playlist where you can organize them into categories and have them automatically add a new episode to playlist for you. So you can kind of create your own talk radio stations by subject, which is kind of like what I wish Stitcher was. You know, I tried out Stitcher, didn't really like it, and ended up finding this in Downcast, and it just works amazingly well. So with that said, it's kind of ironic that you're pick is Downcast when we're taking away the Life Hacker podcast from all these nice people. David asks, what similar podcasts do you recommend as a replacement for the Life Hacker podcast? I now have another hour's worth of time to fill during my commute. And I think this is a good question for us to go out on. I'm not sure I have a good answer, though. Just because Life Hacker is kind of a weird place. I mean, this goes for the site, too. There are a lot of sites that are like different parts of Life Hacker, but there are very few sites that are like Life Hacker as a whole, because we cover so many kind of different topics, and we kind of have this really specifically weird goal. So, like, there are a lot of really great tech podcasts out there, and I'm sure there are a lot of good podcasts about, like, life or whatever. So, you guys, I'm going to let you guys do this. Everyone share your favorites. Dachis,
oh, am I first?
Have to have some. Yeah, go for it.
I mean, I don't listen to a lot of tech podcasts because ever since we started doing this, I already
know all the tech news.
Yeah, I feel like I used to listen to Twit all the time, and I'm probably going to head over to 5x5 and explore some stuff over there because I never did because we were doing this tech podcast. I'm like, I'm good. I usually would listen to the tech podcast and then I would talk to them in the car and like I was there. And I think really any tech podcast where you can actually talk to the people, even though they can't hear you, is probably doing something right. But usually I listen to more, I would say comedy podcasts maybe. I really like Judge John Hodgman, which is on Maximum Fun. And I also listen to Dan Savage, but I've had so little time lately, I haven't really listened to anything, which is terrible.
Yeah. Well, I think Twit is a good suggestion. They have a lot of podcasts on, like, very specific. So, you know, if you're an Android guy, they have an Android podcast. They have a security podcast, which is quite good. They got all sorts of stuff. And 5x5, I'm glad you brought that up because I totally forgot about 5x5, has in beta with former Life Hacker editor Ken Purdy. which is good. And that's kind of a, I mean, that's techie. And there's one called Back to Work with Merlin Mann, which is a productivity podcast.
And so Merlin loves us.
I know he does.
Of course he does.
He does not. I don't think he loves us.
No.
But I've always, I mean, there are a lot of people that do love us, and I try not to discriminate when recommending them or reading them. You know, people are always like, why do you recommend this person? They hate Lifehacker. And I'm like, but Lifehacker likes them, so whatever. Merlin Mann, the podcast is good. Back to Work. I recommend it for productivity, like, you know, kind of more hardcore productivity stuff.
And I may as well throw out the Android Police podcast, because I've listened to some of the other Android podcasts. I know I'm biased because I used to work there, but I don't care. I still say it's if you use Android, if you want to know more about Android, there really isn't a more informed podcast, although it's going to be a lot of news and gadget reviews. So yeah. If you want to know which of the two phones is better because you can't decide for yourself, then go there, because they'll have every opinion ever.
Yeah. Android Police is good stuff.
So I listen to like 20...
though.
Oh jeez. So I listen to like 25 podcasts.
Oh my god. Okay, you should be the one talking.
I'm not going to waste
When do you even have time?
Yeah, when do you, how do you do that?
I barely have time to listen to like one podcast.
I actually listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm writing, because I'm not always in a mood where I need instrumental music to work.
How are you able to do that, though?
It's
have your brain focus on two things.
It's very interesting. I don't know how I do it. I'm not entirely sure, but I managed to get. You know, I can get the work done, and I still know what happened on the last episode of Splendid Tables. But in any event, because speaking of people who do like us, actually, I would if he has the ability to watch video, and even if he doesn't, the Techzilla podcast over on Vision 3 is amazing. They cover a lot of tech topics that we also cover, and very frequently they give us straight up shout outs when we talk about things in that are kind of, you know, along the same lines.
And they're just awesome dudes over there.
Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely. So like, I think Veronica Belmont used to host that one. She's moved on, and now
Shannon Morse is there.
Shannon Morse and Patrick Norton are hosting now.
Shannon Morse moved on to something else too.
She was doing Hack 5, and I don't know if she's still doing Hack 5.
I think she's on a podcast at Twit now.
She is. She's on a coding podcast.
But she's still on Techzilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And Patrick Norton, who's a baller.
Yeah, the two of them are just crushing it. So that's a great podcast. It's a great podcast. I also throw out the Alton Brown cast, because. Mm. You know, you would think that I'm saying that because I love like food hacks and stuff like that, but Alton Brown actually talks to a lot of not food related people. Like, he did a podcast that was talking to his favorite bow tie manufacturer, and another guy, he was talking to a celebrity chef, but the whole conversation was about class and like dressing well and things like that, like present, how to present yourself, stuff that, you know, kind of hits that life angle. So besides, it's Alton Brown. it's entertaining, yeah. And it's like, you know, it's a quick hour shot of an interview, a really good interview. So something else to try. And that one's audio only too. So if he's in the car, it's a good one.
Yeah. Eric?
Eric said Android Police.
Oh, yeah, he did. Sorry. I'm going down my line. Mel?
Oh, okay. Your line. Gotcha.
I actually don't listen to...
She doesn't even listen to the Lifehacker podcast.
Yeah,
these guys are a bunch of jokers.
People talking all the time in my ear just drains me of energy. I can't listen to people talking. Like, my husband likes to listen to talk radio on, you know, on the radio, and I can't do it. But if there was a podcast that I would listen to, I think it would be like TED Talks, because I like all the presentation.
TED Talks has a whole like thing on life hacks now on Netflix, but I have them in queue, but I haven't watched it yet.
Same here.
Yeah. I'm sure we all do. Thorin?
I have a bunch too, kind of like Alan, but I think 99% Invisible is probably my favorite short thing, because it's like 10 to 20 minutes. Just about the process of how things are made or why things came to be. But for like life hackery stuff, Very Bad Wizards is one of my favorites.
As soon as we got to you, I just remembered that one.
And that's definitely, it reminds me of Adam's sense of humor, and it's about like psychology and philosophy. So it kind of hits that note, if you're missing that part. And there's another short series called Tone Control, which is just interviews with game developers, but is super interesting for a process and is worth checking out. It's like a mini series, like, I don't know, 10 episodes or something, with interviews and how people work, basically, like extended interviews on how people work on these crazy, you know, 3-year-long projects. And cool. Yeah, those would be my three picks.
If I had one more to add, it's kind of a niche one, but it's one that I've always liked, the Linux Action Show. If you are at all interested in Linux, even if you don't use Linux, like I haven't listened to it in a while, but I listened to it even long after I switched to Windows. It's just fun. The guys are really cool. They're funny. I don't think Brian Lunduke is over on that show anymore, but he was cool. Our relationship with them started with they thought I stole their idea when I wrote my Arch Linux guide, when it was just like a really big coincidence. But then I found their show because everyone was accusing me of stealing from them, and they're actually a really good show, so I recommend it.
So the trick, get Whitson to like you by saying something mean to him or not liking him.
Apparently, I don't know.
Final life hack.
I just think just because someone doesn't like us, even if they say, I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that say that like to criticize us on the internet, but just because they're criticizing us doesn't mean they don't sometimes have things worth saying.
Absolutely.
Worth listening
sometimes
to.
Sometimes cool people hate us.
And so I will I'll still link to sites like, you know, ghacks or lifehack.org or whatever the sites that like to complain about how Lifehacker sucks now or whatever they like to say, or Merlin Man. You know, sometimes they just because they don't like us doesn't mean we don't like them.
I think it's a good way to be Whitson.
We may not like that they're, you know, that they publicly elected be mean to us or whatever, but
if they got good stuff to say,
when it comes to sharing tips and tricks, they still have good tips and tricks.
Yeah,
to share.
It doesn't mean they don't have anything worth of value to offer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just like our post on, or Thorin's post, I guess I should say, the things you can learn from dictators.
Yeah. Just because evil dictators killed a bunch of people doesn't mean they don't have some good productivity tricks up there.
We're doing so well on the high road right there until we call out LifeHack.org Hitler.
No!
Oh my god!
That's not at all.
Hitler was very efficient. Yeah. There was a lot of other things, but you can't criticize him for that.
Oh, what I meant.
I can say it. I was born Jewish.
That is definitely not what Whitson meant. I'm totally taking that and bastardizing it.
You jerk face. The last thing I'd say, I'll put a link to this in the show notes, but we have a humongous list of the best informative brain-boosting podcast you should subscribe to. It was, completely generated by us and all of our life hacker readers. There's a ton of great ones, both in the realm of life hacking and not. And so I'm going to link to that in the show notes. It's just an awesome list. It's basically a giant list of the best podcasts on the internet. Go read it. Pick up those. You'll never be bored during your commute again.
Life hacker guarantees it.
Life hacker guaranteed.
You'll like the way you look.
Yeah.
It's time, all right, time to say goodbye.
Yeah, 4 out of 5. That's it for the podcast today and forever. But not necessarily forever. I don't want to say forever. But thanks, you guys, for – it's been, what, like 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Just over 100 episodes. It has been an insanely awesome run. Thank you guys so much for listening. It's just been it kind of started as something like really stupid that we were doing in our free time. And – grew into something really, really cool that I think we were all proud of and all had a ton of fun doing. And we're really, I don't think we ever expected it to become kind of as popular as it was and as well liked as it was. So thank you guys all for listening all this time and supporting us. It's just been super awesome. We hope to see you around Lifehacker and our Facebook page and other such things. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter at Lifehacker, on Facebook at facebook.com/lifehacker, and on Google Plus at google.com/plus lifehacker. You can also follow all of us individually on our Twitters and Facebooks and whatnot. You can find all of those accounts at lifehacker.com/about. I also, while we're plugging the site, lifehacker.com, which is where you can go to find all of these things, I also recommend checking out our sublogs, Hackerspace, at hackerspace.lifehacker.com. Which is our completely reader-run sublog. They got a lot of cool tips they're sharing over there. After Hours at afterhours.lifehacker.com, and 2 Cents, our personal finance blog, at 2cents.lifehacker.com. And also, like I said before, check out Lifehacker the Index at lifehacker.com/index for more information than you'll ever need about searching Lifehacker, the categories on Lifehacker, essential posts, things like that. You can find the show notes for this episode in the description of this podcast. You can find the show notes for this and every other past episode at lifehacker.com/the show. Thank you guys for listening, not just today, but for the past 2 years. We will see you guys elsewhere on the internet. Not next time on the podcast, but elsewhere on the internet. Thanks, guys.
It's over!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.